Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for listening. Good morning, Julie. How are you doing today, kiddo?
Hey, Laurie. I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good.
Good.
Had a good Easter weekend and a good week and a lot of prior to. And, yeah, my son Sean was home, and so it was good to have both boys under the same roof, and Sean was home by himself and Tommy, and so we did a lot of celebrating. As I told you, it was Meyer's birthday last week, so we went to Russell's. And we had a delicious dinner, and it was a lot of fun being there. And I did a lot of running around with Deb Peterson on Friday and Saturday. Went to visit a couple of our favorite stores like Dunmore Candy Kitchen and Nibbles and Bits.
Yes.
Yeah. And then
yes.
Got a good pizza later on that night at Grande Pizza, who makes a really good cauliflower pizza. If you're a gluten-free person, they do a great job. I go to the one in Dunmore because it's right up the street. So we picked up a couple pizzas and went up to Deb and John Peterson's for the night on Friday. The kids went out with their dad, and they went to that restaurant. I don't want to say it incorrectly, Julie, the pasta, the North Wyoming Avenue, the new pasta, the Italian restaurant. Is it Pachokis? That's it. Thank you. And my son Sean is gluten-free as well, and he said it was delicious. He had a gluten-free pizza. He and his brother split that as an appetizer, and then he had the pasta, and he said it was great. I did have a little taste of it the next day to see, and it was wonderful. It was actual spaghetti, and I loved it. And so they went there and had a good night, and then Saturday we stayed home. And just a lot of stuff happening. And then Sunday, my son Tommy cooked us a wonderful, fabulous dinner. We had filet and this wonderful carrot salad. That was so good, Julie. He did I have a picture. I'm going to send it to you. You could put it on. It was beautiful. It was a whipped creme fraiche with roasted carrots, and on top of the carrots, he roasted garlic, and he put roasted garlic in a little cluster, and then he mixed parsley and red onion and blood orange together in a vinaigrette-type dressing, and then put that on top of the carrots, and then sprinkled pistachios all on top of it. And that was one of our vegetable dishes, and it was absolutely delicious. So
yeah,
creme fraiche whipped, roasted carrots, and then that just a light salad of blood orange, which were gorgeous, absolutely beautiful. Sean went to the store for me, got them at Wegmans, and they were slices of sections of blood orange, red onion, and parsley, a lot of it mixed. It was absolutely delicious. I'm going to send you the picture of what it looked like so you can post it. He made cheddar biscuits, which were fabulous, homemade, plus the pork. And my sister came and she brought shrimp cocktail for us because, that was part of the, we had so many things. It was wonderful, but it was a very light, very colorful type Easter dinner. So we had a lot of fun. And we got two small cakes from Mansour's. One was a blueberry custard, and the other was a chocolate cake with whipped cream icing, just a one-layer cake, and both gluten-free because they do a lot of gluten-free stuff. So if you ever need anything, they do that. But it was a lovely, lovely day. And how did your scavenger hunt go?
Yeah, they went well. It was a long, funny day and fun day, but I think leading up to it is more exciting in a way than when they actually do the hunts. But everybody seemed to have a good time, so that's the bottom line there, you know. And
that's all that matters.
Yeah. And the hardest part for me was setting up without them seeing me do it.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
I know. I get it.
Because I needed to add locations this year. When you do it multiple times and you're doing two hunts instead of just one, that's about 24 different hiding spots. I was like starting to run out of spots. So I had to make it. I used to make it just outside. I did indoor, outdoor this time. And that is where it got complicated, because hiding them in the house while they were in the house, like there was just a lot of, I had to be like a kind of like a smooth criminal, a little bit stealthy this time. But everything went well. Day went by fast, and I was really happy that it was nice out. It was a beautiful day for them to be outside, you know, running in and out. And yeah, they had a great time.
Good. And did you eat any Easter candy?
I really didn't have much. The thing that I wanted, really the only thing that I was wanting just like for a year, was my mother's, she makes chocolate cakes in the shape of an egg. She has this vintage cake pan, and it's beautiful. And that's kind of her tradition that she has done for us since we were small children, our egg cake.
I love
so
it.
It's a little chocolate cake, and this year she put ganache on top, which I really like. And of course they're personalized. So you have, you know, your egg cake with your name. And that was the big thing that I had. We really went easy on the candy this year because we all have dentist appointments coming up and we were trying to control ourselves. So, yeah,
okay.
Seriously.
Right.
And the more of it that's around, the more of it I will eat. Cause you know, I have a lot of self-control with a lot of things, but chocolate isn't one of them. So
I got my egg cake
and I was happy. Yeah.
There you go.
It's all good.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's all moderation, everything in moderation, Julie. So
right. Right.
I was out and I picked up this small like basket. We were up visiting our friends at Woods and Company. Big shout out to the Serene gals up there, Nettie and Val, and that's their maiden name, so I'm just calling them by that. And I bought this little basket up there. I didn't even have the straw for it. And she said, I have straw. So Val gave me that, and I put up everybody's little goodies in the basket. So it was just a small little basket with a few things. And it was so cute because I said to Sean, I was at Dunmore Candy Kitchen. I went to the one down in the Burney Plaza, and they had a groom and a bride, but they didn't have any brides left. So I got the groom, which was fine because Katie wasn't here, and it was just Sean. So I had the groom in the basket for Sean. It was a solid chocolate, and the little sucker weighed a lot. So that it was all solid chocolate, but just
nice.
It's always good to have the mix of, and I went and got my homemade marshmallows from Nibbles and Bits, as I was talking about that before. So, yeah, they're just a lot of – and then we were at Mansour's for a brunch on Saturday, and then we picked up the cake. So we had a busy, busy couple of days, but it was fun and lots of things happening. And here we are the week, almost the weekend after. So what are you going to do? Almost a full week since Easter. And here we are. But so that's all I have. We didn't do, other than that, it was, you know, quiet, trying to pick up the rear when everything is done, clean up. And as you know, you have to do all that stuff after you do everything else. So. But Tommy did the cooking, so that was one break for me.
You feel like you're still recovering like a few days later. I definitely
know.
Yeah. But now my nephews are asking, what's next? Easter's done. That's all, you know, check that
Mother's
off.
Day.
What's next?
Mother's Day.
They're ready.
Mother's
so they're
Day.
Ready for another big party. But luckily we have a birthday coming up in the family next week.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
more cake in their future and they're you know, working on their gifts. No, this is they're really little party animals. It's a riot.
That's good.
And
I
love that. They make everything much more fun.
I think it's great. Listen, Julie, kids, what makes them happy should make us happy. And I was listening to something on the Today mm-hmm. Show. They showed the boost, the morning boost, and it was about kids. And somebody said, God, it's so just how kids are so innocent. And somebody mentioned, you know, we should all act like kids more often. And mm-hmm. we should. So that's not childish, but act like a kid. You know, that's a good thing. So, yeah. But anyway, so we're going to take a quick break because we have two lovely ladies with us this week. We have Katie Foley, who's an advocate with the ARC of NEPA, and Leah Genacopoulos, who's an agent with ERA OneSource, will be on. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me are extraordinary, I guess I say it this way, Julie, producer extraordinaire, Miss Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel, go ahead and tell them what you can do.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing in northeastern Pennsylvania and beyond. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
Thank you, Jewel. And with us is a lovely young woman by the name of Katie Foley. She is an advocate with the ARC of NEPA, and Katie's going to talk to us a little bit about what goes on in that wonderful organization. It's been around for a long time. We want to hear what all the good stuff that goes on. There's also a golf tournament coming up in May. There's been a busy April with a lot of fundraising and a lot of activities happening for them. But since we're wrapping up the month of April, we're going to talk about what's going to happen in May, and all these golf tournaments are a big deal. But it's also nice to know what the organization does and how it affects our community and what the people, the wonderful people who work there. And I have to give a big shout out, Katie, to Marcia Piga, who I absolutely love and adore. I know her for a long, long time when she worked at the old, good old YMCA in Dunmore, and she's a delight, and she's now your new executive director. And so shout out to Marcia and tell her I love her, please. And Eileen, give her a big smooch for me. And Katie, tell us a little bit, but before we say this too, Katie, I have to say, and I just said this before we went on, my son Sean Cadden Foley is getting married on June 21st of this year, and his bride-to-be, her name is Katie, so she will be Katie Foley. So I have a daughter-in-law named Katie Foley-to-be, and here is another Katie Foley. So I'll never forget your name.
Well, that's good. You know what? It serves me well.
That.
So I think.
There you go.
Good luck to her. So I think
Thank
it's a
you.
Good name to go with. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
tell us a little
thank
bit about
you.
What you do. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm an advocate with the ARC of Northeastern Pennsylvania. And so what that means really, we have three advocates with the ARC. I generally focus on Luzerne County. But what that really means is that we try to help serve our community by, you know, being a voice for people who maybe don't feel that they have a voice, or, you know, supporting them in ways where maybe there might need to be a support. We help them find resources. We sit in on IEP meetings. We, you know, try to do systems advocacy. In May, we're going to be going down for to Harrisburg to, you know, sort of speak with their representatives. And so there's a lot of different things that advocates do, and it's, you know, entirely funded by gifts from, you know, people who want to support us. And if you do, you can always go to the ARC to find information on that. But we also have a lot of other programs that we do. It's not just me. We have, you know, some adult day programs. We do supported employment. We have a great recreation program with Mari Pieser. You can find all of that on the site as well. In fact, we have a summer camp that's coming up that we do every year. And it's a great event for school-age kids, so up till 22. And, again, Mari Pieser, she's great with that. We do have the Glen Oaks golf tournament coming up, and Eileen is the person to contact with that. And her number is 570-207-0824, and we do it every year. So it's on May 19th. And for the ARC Summer Camp, we have Mari. But there's a lot of different things that we do. We do trainings as ARC advocates. So, for instance, this past Thursday would have been one of our presentations with Geisinger's Developmental Medicine Department. And they're speaking on puberty and developmental disabilities. Very important to me. I have a son. So we do a lot of different things, but we also focus on helping people become their own advocates. So, you know,
right.
Advocacy is more than just, you know, my speaking up for someone. It's, you know, my helping people learn to speak up for themselves.
Yeah, Katie, I sit on the Friendship House board, and there was just a lovely piece the other day on the news. I don't remember which station it was, and there was our director of for Friendship House Advocacy Center, Autism Center, as well as someone from your organization was on, and I thought it was a really great program to just the information to tell people, of course, because it is April is Autism Awareness Month, and all of those things work together in organizations. So can you talk a little bit about that part too, as far as the autism and autism part of it, as well as Autism Awareness Month?
Sure. You know, part of how I got involved in this is that I have a son with autism. And so, you know, we're always guided towards the things that make us most passionate. And obviously our children do that for us. And, you know, this was something that helped me sort of get into that sort of life, path. Now, my son actually went to Friendship House. They have a wonderful EIBI center, and so I'm very familiar with them. But there's a lot of different organizations that do support autism. We have Autism Awareness NEPA here. And it is Autism Awareness Month is April. And it's just a great time to remember that, you know, we're trying to not just accept people, you know, and notice that they're there, but really become aware of the fact that there's nothing wrong with someone who's a little different than us. And that it's more than just an awareness of people being around us, but it's an acceptance of people being a part of our community, because they are. And I think that, you know, it's a great month to kind of remember that. You know, not that we shouldn't think about it every month, but it's a great month where we can really celebrate it, that, you know, we're all different people. We're all coming together. We've got, you know, great ideas. My son is a very creative guy, you know, but he does struggle with, you know, some symptoms of autism that might create some anxiety. And those are things that we try to support him with. And the ARC tries to support people with different developmental disabilities and intellectual disabilities in the same way.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it's a wonderful, it's great for our community that we have so many services and the availability of, you know, anyone in that field who know what they're doing and what they're talking about and how to help anyone's child who may need any type of service, regardless of whether it is autism or not. But and the ARC has done such a great job of doing that for so many years, so many. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've ever met her, and I'm not even sure if she's still on your board, but Sarah Wolf was a good friend of mine she and God bless her mom, Terry, they were on one of my shows, my TV shows for ECTV, and I loved meeting them, and Sarah and I kept in touch. I would run into her, here we go again, with at the YMCA, and she was just a delight, and she was actually on the board of ARC, which I think is so important that is the inclusion of someone who was taken care of and somebody who used the services of this organization. The board also makes room to make sure that they're able to have a voice on their board of directors. And I don't know if that still happens, but that was a wonderful thing, Katie, all those years ago, for me to know that Sarah did that. And that's what we talked about on the show was, you know, how active she is in this community and how it's so important that she said going to the ARC made a big difference for her.
Yeah, and you know, the ARC is really, really behind self-advocacy. It's a really important part of what we do. And so, you know, part of who we are is, you know, helping people share why something is important to them. And you can't really advocate for anyone unless you know what's important to them. So, you know, we have a lot of self-advocates. I'm not as familiar with the board. I'm not as important as all that, but I do. I'm sure she's still there.
Yeah,
we have
know.
A lot
she
of
may
really.
Not be, but yeah.
Well, we have. It is really important for the ARC because, you know, I think people don't understand that someone with an intellectual or a developmental disability has a lot to say and a lot of, you know, their own ideas of what's really important.
Yeah.
They have a lot of and to really find out what's important to a community, you have to talk to the people in that community. And hopefully, as the ARC, we try to do that. And, you know, self-advocates are a really important part of the ARC's mission, more so than, you know, an advocate like me, you know. So myself, I think, so you're right. I think that that's really important. There is a lot of self-advocates. We just had a few down that with different developmental or intellectual disabilities at our Health Action Summit in Hershey last month, I think. So, yes, it's a really important part of what we do.
Yes. Well, as I said, how many years has, do you know the number of years the ARC has been around in this neck of the woods? Do you know? I know it's a long time. Do you remember the date? Because I can't remember it.
I should know the date. It's something.
It's as far back as
the 70s, yes. Mm-hmm. But I think it's actually earlier than that.
Because I know that there were so many people who started with children who needed the services, and they all got together, and this is all, you know, this is how this was formed. I became familiar when Donnie Broderick was the executive director, and he's retired not too many years ago, and then you had a woman in right after Donnie, and then you have now Marcia. So the work is incredible. And again, as I said before, and it bears repeating, when we have organizations within our community that reach to, and like we were talking earlier off air, we said, you know, you're far reaching, Katie, because you're in many counties, although you deal with the Luzerne County, which is important to note, just really came on board, so to speak, because they were handled by another organization that has since dissolved, and now our local ARC took that, was able to do that end in Wilkes-Barre or Luzerne County, I should say, and all of the other counties that are around us. We're not talking just Lackawanna. There's a whole bunch of counties which most of these organizations do. They work with all of them, and it's so important to have this type of organization to help people in anything they need. But when it comes to this type of knowledge that these people, kids and people need, it's so important that it's available to us. And even this, like you were saying, the summer camp, which I think is great. How old, do you know the ages of the camp, Katie, that they, or is it best to just go on online and you
it's
can give
school
us
school age.
School age.
It
kids.
Is school
okay.
age, yes. And again, Mari Pieser is the one who heads that up, and it's a great program. It is for school-age people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So as long as you're still, you know, in school or will be in school, you're eligible to be in with the ARC Summer Camp. And that's with Mari Pieser. You know, she knows a lot more about that. But, you know, the ARC itself has been around since probably I think the 50s, you know, we kind of came into the headlines in the 70s because that's where we sort of started. But, you know, it started as a parent organization, you know, that
right.
is, and that's still who we are, really. We are people who love the people that we support, the advocates. All of us are parents of children with disabilities. And so when we sit in those rooms and we're advocating for people, it's with a fierce passion that keeps us motivated because, you know, we're aware of all of the things that are going on in that room besides just, we need this and that, or we're missing this kind of money. We have a different ability to see what the parent is thinking and hopefully help guide people towards decisions based on, you know, some of that empathy.
Yep, and I love that you said that that's the best. It was a parent organization, and to know that it started from parents who needed help and advocacy and information and what they could do and what was available to their children, that's how it all started. So see what happens when a group of people get together with love for their children who need that understanding, need to know what's available. They get together and look what they do. It turns into the arc of NEPA and all this wonderful stuff for all these years and all these great people like yourself who are part of it. Fundraisers, which again we have to tell you that where the golf tournament is, Katie. I know it's May 19th. Do you know which golf course it's at?
Yes, it's May 19th, and it is at Glen Oaks Country
Club.
Okay,
great. That's a great
yeah,
one.
Yeah. So yeah,
well,
I know, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And again, it's a fundraiser. So if you're a golfer mm-hmm. and you want to do that, support it, go online, Katie. And speaking of that, what is the website for them to find out more information?
Yes, of course. So it is thearcnepa.org. So that's thearcnepa.org. And there's a lot of information on there. You can support us in a lot of different ways, you know, however you feel comfortable. But some of the things we do, like this golf tournament, is a great way to do it, really have fun and support people that, you know, matter to you.
Great. Well, we thank you for your time today, Katie, and keep up all the good work. I hope to see you and meet you in person one of these days. And please, my best to my two friends we spoke about earlier, and keep up the good work.
Yeah.
And to your son, we're all trying to, as we were doing the show, we were all trying to keep dogs and kids and everyone quiet while we did it. Well, guess what? It worked. So, and kitty cats from Julie's end. So, Katie, thank you for joining us. Come back anytime and tell Marsha if she wants to come on. Feel free to call me. We'll get her on and talk all about Marsha. So,
awesome.
Or as they say in the Brady Bunch, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. So here we go. Everyone else out there, have a wonderful weekend. And we'll be right back. We have Leah Giannakopoulos up with ERA One Source Realty, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. And Julie, tell them what you can do for them, please.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit juliedimmel.com.
Yay. And with us, hasn't been here in a while, Miss Leah Giannakopoulos from ERA One Source Realty. Leah is an agent with ERA. We're located in Clark Summit or Chinchilla on Northern Boulevard.
And they have 5 offices in 10 counties. And Leah is one of about 80-some agents and getting bigger. And Leah, how you doing, honey? As I said, we haven't seen you, haven't heard from you lately.
I know. You know, we've been all over the rotation getting all our good agents in and getting
I know.
Here.
I love it.
So, yeah, I can't believe it's almost May, and that means obviously the selling season, the buying season of real estate has started. And I think, you know, Easter kind of put a slow delay to that just because I think people like to wait until, like, everything's over. And I also know, like, my one client told me with how everything went this year, I guess there was not a lot of snow days. So the schools gave them a longer break, and more people took advantage of that, so they went away. So who wants to, you know, be responsible for reviewing offers and going through all of that? Because the market is actually really getting crazy again, and it's all over. And I want to, like, I want to make sure everyone, when I say the market's getting crazy, the market is crazy if you're pricing your house right. Like, you can't go put a fantasy price on it. This isn't fantasy football and, like, expect that. You know, because you think it's worth that, it's going to sell for that. So I think as long as you're being realistic with your expectations, you're going to get what you want, which is obviously very important. I priced 2 houses in Scranton a couple weeks back to back. And, you know, it's Scranton, right? So sometimes there's people want different school districts. People don't want to be in a city. They want land, all this, whatever. But I put them on. I priced them right. And they both went within one weekend. And they both went at least $20,000 over. I had a minimum of 5 offers on each property and a minimum of 22 showings.
Wow, that's great.
So,
were they single family?
One was a single and one was a double.
Wow.
So it's a mix of everything. Yeah, I mean, you know, it was in that sweet spot, which is the mid twos. You know, everyone likes that price range. That's our median price range around here too. That's what people want. But you know, I was on a conference call this morning with Real Estate Today. It's actually a really great blog and magazine, and I was listening to a conference that they were doing, and it was just called they were talking about buyers right now, because obviously buyers are still, you know, are still looking, but then you hear that buyers could be afraid because they're afraid of the interest rates. They're afraid, you know, should I wait, should I wait, should I wait? And I read a quote the other day, and it said, if people waited in 1978 for the rates to come down, they would have never bought their first house until 1989. And that's so true. So, you know, we've always said it on here a million times why marrying the house and dating the rate is very important. But what's more important is you shouldn't be afraid to be a buyer right now in this market. There's no wrong time to actually ever be a buyer, because you're always just going to get more money out of your house. Like I've said it before, your house is a savings pool of money that you don't even know you have and you can't touch. So it's a great time to be a buyer because you have an opportunity out there. And there's so many people that are afraid to jump in right now. You're on a lower end of how many offers are going in. So you don't have as much competition. And I think in a couple weeks, I think once everyone starts to really get the feel for it, there's going to be more people jumping in. So I don't think you should be afraid to jump into the market right now as a buyer. I think it's actually a great time. And that I also think other people too, you know, another great topic that was a podcast today as well was that not even just being a home buyer, don't be afraid to buy your second home right now, because, you know, that's obviously a lot of the people are afraid to do that because they had such a great rate from 4 and 5 years ago. But why you should be a second home buyer is because your opportunities are there right now. You have a lot of leverage in your house that you probably bought 4 or 5 years ago. So I think, you know, I have a lot of clients right now that are calling and they're like, what's my house worth? You know, a lot of them that bought in 2018, 19, 20. And I think they're finding out, like, you know, I remember my mom and dad said, like, when they bought their first house, like, they were saving and saving and, you know, you're cautious of everything. You didn't go on vacation. You didn't do this. You didn't do that because you wanted that house. And I think people are now hearing, like, oh, wow, I have a lot of equity in my house. I don't necessarily have to cut back or change anything because the money is now sitting in your house. But I think that's important for people to know as well.
And, you know, Leah, we talk about this, and I just was saying this to someone else. Real estate investment is still, especially here, because things are because I can only speak for here. I don't pay attention to everything all over the place like you guys do who do this actively. But the rates are finally, you know, somewhat adjusting to where they should be here. And you know, we're all worried about the stock market. It goes up, it goes down. But really, when you buy a house now, and if it's an investment, you're going to make money on the purchase of a real estate investment because it just works that way. Whether you're, you know, going to flip it or you're the money is there. It's a smart, smart way to invest. Do you find more and more people are doing that, Leah, because of the stock market, or do you don't think it's changed at all because people are just riding it out in the market?
You know what? That actually goes 50-50. That's a great question. I actually had a guy the other day say to me, he called me, he was like, I'm done taking the risk in the stock market. He said, real estate's never failed me, and that's where I'm putting my money. And listen, I mean, I do both. You know, I have multiple properties now. I have investments in the stock market, but I have a great financial advisor, so I would have no idea what I was doing on my own end if I ever had to do that. But honestly, I do think that I don't think there's ever a wrong time to buy real estate. You know, I honestly don't.
Nope.
I think that no matter what, and the best thing I ever read, and I'll never forget it. It was like 6 or 7 years ago, and I never thought about it until I read it in one of the business journals. And it's what I always go back to is a house is a savings pool of money. And that's where you can't go wrong because you have the fact that you're literally sitting on your own equity, and it's money you can't touch. You know, you have like, say, you know, you used to put money away in the side and you could take it out because that's, you have access to it. Well, the good thing is
liquid. You
can't access money in your house unless you go to the bank or unless you sell it. So it's, it's an investment that you're not going to lose on 90% of the time, 95% of the time, depending on how you invest and, you know, who your realtor is. And again, too, like, we just always go back to it. You have to make sure you have a realtor that's educated and is able to educate you on the process as well.
Yeah. Well, Leah, we, as you just said, when it comes to investment, you're with someone who knows what they're doing. Well, you just said it. Make sure when you're doing another type of investment, such as buying, you are with the right person. And that's so, so important, too. Interview if you don't know an agent. Let's ask them, meet with them, ask them what they need. Go to your bank, be pre-qualified. We talk about that all the time because, Leah, I can't even imagine. I mean, Holly, the last time Holly was on, we talked about this. We said, Holly, do you have people who accept an offer without a pre-qualification? She said, no, people won't even look at it. They want that in their hand. So those are things you can do up front before you even start to do this other stuff. But qualified agents and people who know what they're doing are a must, because they're a dime a dozen. So make sure you're with the right one and you're getting the right information.
Absolutely. And make sure your agent is active. Make sure they know what's going on. Make sure they're, you know, you're having, because listen, when you meet with your agent, you're meeting that person and, you know, you want to make sure you drive with them. So you need to make sure you're also getting an agent that's also here to, you know, wants to help you, has their, you know, a pulse on the market. And honestly, I could tell, I always say this, like, I love what I do, so I know that obviously is a different thing too. But the other part about it is that not only does it have to be that I love what I do, I truly do keep myself educated always on what is going on, where are the daily rates. I have great relationships with multiple lenders. I have great relationships with multiple title companies. What's the newest trend in the market? You need to know all of that, and that's why I think, too, these new buyer agency forms that they came out with, I think they're great. I think it's allowing someone to establish a relationship with a realtor that, like, hey, you don't like, not everyone has to get along or always gets along, right? There's no rule that has to be how it goes. So I think signing a buyer's agency, having that commitment, knowing there's a relationship, I have a commitment to you, you have a commitment to me. It also makes the relationship so much better. How many times do I get a call? Well, I just want to see what the house looks like. Okay, well, then I'm definitely not the agent for you. Then we're not just going to peruse the houses, you know? Like, first of all, a seller doesn't want people just coming in to look at their house. They want to serious people looking inside their house. And I
Absolutely.
Think that's also important as well, that you have to be able to make sure you know what your buyer is looking for and what is the why. And that is one thing I have to say. ERA keeps us very in touch with everything. We have coaching classes every 6 weeks, and there's a program that we run every 6 weeks on every Monday from 12 to 2 with the president of ERA. And he is young, he's energetic, he started at the bottom. He was an administrator to a real estate broker. Then he got his real estate license. He's been in the game since he was, I think, 20 years old. So he's worked his way up. Now he's the president of ERA. And he knows what it's like to be an agent, and he knows what it's like to be at the top, but he's so well-rounded, and he gives the best advice. And that's one thing I think is a takeaway is these coaching classes, like to make sure that you are giving know what their why is. Why is the buyer moving? Why are they looking for this type of house? What is their needs? Why do they need to be here? And I think that's a very important thing too. And I think also I had a buyer the other day. She called me. She's like, we can't move until September 20th. And I said, well, where are you looking? She said Clark Summit. I said, it's a good thing you called me, because she's looking in the price range that 50 other people are.
Yep. Well, Leah, we all, you know, when you look at doing it, whether it's investment, it's your first time, or, you know, Leah, these people, they get stuck. They don't want to sell. They don't want to go. They're afraid. They think, should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? You know, the inventory is low. That's one thing we know. So again, if you're on the fence and you think it's something you're ready to do, you're ready to put it on the market, again, call the agent, talk to them, let them come in, let them look at it, let them give you a CMA if you're not sure, you want some basic information or knowledge. Because would you agree with that, Leah, that prices are around here coming back, you know, building to where they really should be at this point?
Yes and no.
Or are
sure.
they still, okay, where do you think they are?
Some are a little high. I think it'll eventually level out. I think some are a little high, but that's also the stuff that's sitting on the market. And I think that's also the realtor's job too. You know, you have to be able to have that uncomfortable conversation with the seller and say your price isn't realistic. You have to be honest. Or
absolutely.
Why are you going to give a seller a price that's not realistic, and then you're having to explain to them every second, oh, your house isn't selling because of, well, we knew that your house wasn't going to sell for this price. You know, we had that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another thing, too. You have to make sure that you're having those conversations that aren't always delightful. You know, like, I had a conversation that way the other day with another seller. They thought their house was worth this, and I said, here, this is where your house really does have to be. And mm-hmm. here's the support. Here's the proof I have for it.
Right. And I don't mean unrealistic prices, but I believe that we are, based on what I see when I know people are getting, it's a lot better and being priced a lot better than what it used to be. Not the inflated, overpriced stuff. It's never going to sell. But you price it right, it's in good, you know, people will look at it and you can get it to where it needs to be to put on the market. You're going to sell that property. People are able to get better pricing than I think they used to. For the most part, I think they do. The overinflated piece, and people always think, Leah, you know that, people always think their house, it's personal to them. So they think it's worth more than what it is. So, you know, you have to be realistic, and that's where I think reality sort of goes by the wayside a lot of times without talking to someone who can tell you what the property is really, you know, what you can realistically get for it. And if it doesn't sell and you put it on for a higher, then whose fault is that? You know, you wanted it. You did the best. We try to tell you this. It's not going to sell if it isn't priced right. Nor it may not settle because it's not, even if you get a higher price. So it just, there's so many ifs, ands, or buts there that there could be an issue. But overall, things are pretty good in this market, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. So lots of great listings coming on over the next couple of weeks. I'm excited between me and a lot of agents at the company. So a lot of good stuff. And I definitely think it's going to be another great spring and summer. I truly do. I definitely think there's a lot of a lot of good out there. So all is going well.
Okay. Well, tell everyone how they can get in touch with you.
I could be reached at 570-947-9250, or you can call the office at 570-587-9999 and reach any of our agents. And we're on all forms of social media under ERA OneSource. I'm under Leah Genicopoulos, and our website, ERA1.com.
There you go. Leah, thanks for joining us today. It was good to have you back. Don't be a stranger. Come and see us again, okay? And everyone else out there, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye.